I rented a limousine a little while ago, got a really, really good deal on it, and then only 200 bucks, and then I found out why. It didn't come with a driver. And turns out you need a special chauffeur license to drive one, and so I was looking around for someone. I couldn't find anyone with the right license, so looks like I spent $200 and had nothing to show for it. Telling punny jokes gives me great joy, and today we're all about joy. Elaine hates puns, but she'll laugh at them. My greatest joy is when I tell a punny joke, and she's trying not to laugh because she doesn't want to encourage me, but she laughs anyways. That gives me a lot of joy. Today I want to ask the question, what brings you joy? What makes you have that feeling within of joy? Let's define joy really quickly. The dictionary says it's the emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune. What I find interesting about that is even that definition betrays the person who wrote that definition, because what brings that person joy? Well, obviously, well-being, success, and good fortune. Is that my list? That's not really my list of what, it doesn't hurt, right? I'm not gonna knock that, but what is it that gets that feeling? It's not happiness. Happiness is more a surface thing. What gives you that deep feeling of contentness, of pleasure, of joy? And so I wanted to tell a story, because so I'm old enough, when my kids were little, I recorded everything on a VHS-C tape, okay? And so you take the little VHS-C tape and you transfer it to the big VHS tape. And so I had all these VHS tapes, and then VHSs were going up the way of the dodo bird, and so I converted them all to CDs. And so then I had all my home videos on CDs, but now CDs are going out. I have one CD player on my computer, so I better. So this week I moved my movies from CD to save them on my 1 terabyte hard drive. My first computer had a 40 megabyte hard drive, so for me, comprehending a 1 terabyte hard drive is hard. But anyways, so as I'm doing that, I'm watching a few of the videos, and there's a lot of Christmas stuff. And there's one thing that I'm so glad it was, because I forgot that it got recorded. It's me opening a present at Christmas. And my kids are probably 10 or 12, and you could tell that they were excited about Dad opening this present. They were laughing and jumping, and they were, here, open this present, Dad. And so I open it, and inside, they have gone around and found all kinds of different kinds of chocolates to give me. And they know that I love chocolate. And so I'm opening, I'm like, oh, there's this chocolate, and there's that chocolate, and they're jumping around, they're laughing. There was such joy on their faces because they thought about Dad, and they wanted almost like a gag gift, but almost like, we thought about you and we wanted to give you something you'd enjoy. That moment filled me with joy because my kids thought about it and did this cool thing for me. One of the things I wanted to say today is about Christmas and joy, because I think that our expectations around Christmas sometimes really rob us of joy. We have this expectation that Christmas is going to be this fantastic thing, and our reality falls somewhat short a lot of times. I don't know about you, I grew up in a home. I think when I was a kid, Christmases were happy. I think that somewhere along the line, some tension entered into it. I remember my teen years just finding Christmas to be really tense. And there was some tension in relationships, and Christmas just heightened it. And I remember I came to college out here to BC, to Trinity, and I didn't have enough money to fly back to Ontario for Christmas. And so I didn't know what I was gonna do for Christmas. My roommate invited me to come with him for Christmas. He lived in Oregon on Mount Hood. And I remember his family was like, oh, that's really too bad you couldn't go home for Christmas. And I'm like, no, this is so much better. I'm having a great time. Didn't miss home at all. And so those, I don't know, like, I would want you, I would invite you not to create a lot of stress for yourself, not to create a lot of false expectations around Christmas time, and just like enjoy what is, and find the joy in what you have, and don't create a lot of false expectations. I think gift giving is one of those things. I grew up, we didn't have a whole lot of money. And when my kids were little, I was working as a flight instructor, not making a ton of money. And I remember we got hand-me-downs from my wife's older sister, who had two boys, and we went to the thrift stores. Like, nothing that my kids opened on Christmas morning was new, but they loved it. They had a great Christmas. And so I think creating a lot of expectation, like, here's Canadian Council of Retailers, every year in October, issues this new news item. They do a survey and they say, here's how much Canadians on average are gonna spend for Christmas. So according to the Canadian Council of Retailers, Canadians are gonna spend on average $972 on Christmas. Now, why do they do that? Because they're creating an expectation that's how much you should be spending. Right? And I just want to say, no, let's not create this expectation around Christmas time. Oh, if we don't get the perfect gift, if we don't do exactly the right thing, we don't have the right meal. I remember one time at Christmas, I made mashed potatoes, and they were done a little bit early, so I set them on the stove over there, and unfortunately the stove was still on. And I tell you, that burnt taste goes right through. Like, it goes, it was only the bottom that was burnt, but those potatoes were not actually edible. But meals can be ruined without ruining the joy of the day. And so I just encourage you, don't let those expectations ruin your Christmas. Find the joy in what you have. I want to talk a little bit about joy when we see it in the Bible and think about where joy comes from. And I really do, I want to encourage you to think about, what do I find joyful? And so Isaiah 55:12, you know, says, you will go out in joy, be led forth in peace, the mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. But notice what comes before that. This is Isaiah chapter 55. If you know the book of Isaiah, the first 39 chapters of the book of Isaiah are all doom and gloom. You guys have broken the laws and bad things are going to happen. You're going to get hauled into exile. It's a tough slog getting to the first 39 chapters of the book of Isaiah, but you get to chapter 40 and all of a sudden, you know, God is saying, but wait, there's something better coming. And so we get to chapter 55. And chapter 55 starts this way. It says, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. There's a recognition that people want to come, but they're thirsty. They have no money. And God says, no, this is a time of grace. This is a time where things have turned around. And he promises us that his word that goes out from his mouth will not return empty. They will accomplish what he desires. He's saying all these prophecies, they're going to happen. And ultimately, in the end, this grace, this salvation is coming. And in fact, it does happen. They get hauled off to exile, and by some incredible miracle, this doesn't happen in ancient history very much. They're hauled off to exile, but then a number of years later, they're allowed to return. And so Nehemiah chapter 8 talks about the people coming back. They built the walls around Jerusalem, and there's this incredible moment. Nehemiah chapter 8 talks about where all the people, can you imagine this? They've been hauled off into exile, and they've been, by grace, allowed to return. They've rebuilt the walls, and they've all gathered inside the walls, and they want to hear the word of God. And so all the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So they start reading it. And they read it aloud from daybreak till noon. 6 hours. Can you imagine standing in the square listening to God's law for 6 hours? It sounds awful, but it says all the people listened attentively. And And Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. And then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So they were really, really moved. As a matter of fact, they were moved to tears because as they heard the law, well, you can imagine that sense of, wow, we're hearing the word of God. This is so moving. But also, oh, wow, we've broken a bunch of these commands. And so there's sadness, there's remorse. And that's where Nehemiah says this. He says, go, enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve the Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so God creates days like this, like Christmas, for us to enjoy and to eat and enjoy each other's company and to live in the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And it's easy to become down. It's easy to feel low. But God says, no, I want to lift you up. I want to raise you up. I want you to live in the joy of the Lord. So often as we read these descriptions of joy in the Bible, we know that people have gone through difficulty and challenge, but now have come out the other side and there's joy. As Elaine and I were doing our devotions a couple weeks ago, I read this verse and almost like it hit me for the first time. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, starts with this word, therefore. So you have to stop and say, well, what is the therefore? So Hebrews 11 is all about faith, and it describes all these people who had great faith in God, experienced all kinds of difficulty and challenges, and he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. How much I love that phrase, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And then it says this, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And as I read that aloud to Elaine a couple of weeks ago, that phrase, for the joy set before him, just jumped out at me. It's like, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And so the joy, like he knew, this is what brings me joy. To be the savior of the world, that brings me joy, Jesus says. And for the joy of that, he was willing to endure hardship and difficulty and challenge. And so, again, I think knowing and asking ourselves, what brings me joy? Because I'm able and willing to endure incredible difficulties if I know it's on a pathway to bringing me joy. And I challenge you today, like, ask yourself and look at your own life and say, here are the things that bring me joy. If I look at your life, is what you're doing gonna lead you and bring you to those moments of joy? Does your life make sense right now? If you think about what brings you joy, does what you're doing actually lead you towards the joy that you're seeking? And I'm not saying, and this is where it's important to distinguish between happiness and joy, because if we just pursue fleeting happiness, it's not gonna take us where we want to go. We want to understand what brings us that deep joy. I'm going to show you a graph. Like, graphs speak to me. I know that I'm a little bit mathematical, and so graphs probably don't speak to everyone in the same way. But here's a graph, hard work one side, time the other. And I think in our culture, a lot of people pursue happiness, and they don't, hard work doesn't seem very happy, and so they pursue a line like this. But ultimately, somewhere down the line, you're going to need to do a, if you were on a coast right now, there's going to be fairly hard line coming down the road. And so I don't think that's what the pursuit of happiness or the pursuit of joy. I think rather what we need to do is recognize that there is work, there is difficulty, there is challenge, but ultimately if we know what brings us joy, we're willing to do that work that ultimately leads to that greater, deeper sense of joy in our lives. What brings you joy? And so I do invite you today to spend some time just on your own, or if you're a verbal processor, talk it out with somebody and say, what is it that brings me joy? And think about the stories of your own life where you felt that deep down joy. And then ask yourself, is what I'm doing bringing me to that place of joy? I've had a lot of time to think about joy recently. I think in many ways, right now, I would say my life is not overly happy. I don't talk about it a whole lot, but you know, like, Elaine's illness is something that continues. Like, you don't get to see her every day. I do, I wish you could have. The challenge is we moved here 4 years ago. You guys didn't get to know the Elaine she and I would bike all over the place. We played tennis. We went cross-country skiing. We were stand-up paddleboarding. We were active, and we're active together. And so much of my activity was with her. And so when she lost her energy, it totally changed our relationship. For a year, I didn't do anything because we always did stuff together, and now it still feels alone. When I go for a run, when I go for a bike ride alone, it feels wrong. So there's lots of things, and we're still adjusting and figuring out. We keep hoping she's gonna get better, but like right now, she's got a rotator cuff injury that like is causing her a lot of pain. She's in a lot of pain, so she's not sleeping well. She's like, God. So that's why she hasn't been here for the last number of weeks. Is she's just not well. So that really robs you of happiness. And yet, I want to tell you that there is joy in our lives. There is, because we love each other a great deal. We've worked out a routine in our lives, and we really enjoy each other's company. And so there is and remains joy, and there's joy in because we share a deep and profound relationship with Jesus, and we talk a lot about our faith and about our relationship with Jesus. We pray together every day, we read the Bible together every day. Those are important things that bring us joy. And so our circumstances can change, and I don't know, like, whatever circumstances you're in, whether they're good or not, they can change. And so figuring out what is it that brings you joy, it can be that strength that holds you. For me, God brings me a lot of joy. I've been spending, I spend a lot of time just in prayer and meditation on God and just like hearing from Him, and that brings me joy. And so my homework for you is to stop and spend some time meditating on what brings me joy, and does my life right now add up? Does it make sense? Another little story, but I mean, I had a pretty successful career working for the government. I was doing well, but I still remember the day I was getting more and more annoyed with various things, and I realized this job doesn't bring me joy. And I remember I thought, I'm going to take my full vacation this year all in once. I used to always like break up my vacation in smaller chunks so I didn't inconvenience my department too much. And I remember I said, not this year. I'm going to take my full vacation all in one chunk. I need a break. So I took 6 weeks off, and I got back to work. And I remember, yes, I'm excited. I'm ready. And I remember that first morning being back, and I went for lunch, and I came back to my desk after lunch, and I was like, no, I can't do this. I just can't do this. And so I ended up leaving. And ultimately, I think as challenging as being a pastor is, this does bring me a lot more joy. Not always happiness, but it does bring me a great deal of joy to be here. And so anyways, long, a lot of stories, but just to say, yeah, I invite you to think about how joy works in your life and how you need to work or change things to bring more joy into your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you. And Lord, you want us to have joyful lives, which doesn't mean we're always happy, and we acknowledge that we're not always going to be happy. But you invite us to sit in your presence and feel the joy that comes from you. Lord, you bring us so many things into our lives, things that we've heard this morning shared, working with other people, working and bringing joy and skills and love into people's lives. Lord, you give us that. Help us to notice how we find joy. And Lord, we just pray your blessing on those thoughts. In Jesus' name, amen.